Book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 12. When you find your place there, then go over to Isaiah in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter number 6. That's our theme verse this year. And I want to read it. And our theme verse this year is Isaiah 6:8. And as we look at it, we have this picture that we have on our calendar that we put out, and also it's on the back there on our missions thing. And I'll probably get some more pictures to put up in the church as the year goes on. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." You know, he heard the person that he heard the voice of the Lord. If we're ever going to do anything for God, we're going to have to hear the voice of the Lord. I guarantee you that. That person that spoke to him was that the Lord, the authoritative Lord. He heard his voice. Then the person was in the person he heard had a need. God had a need. That's hard to believe, but God said, "Who will go for us?" You realize God has a need for servants today. God has a need for witnesses today. God has a need for people being a light and a testimony today. And God wants us to fulfill that. And then he said, then we realize the saint of God says, I just personally look at it this way. I mean, first of all, he's seen the Lord high and lifted up in the first part of Isaiah. Then he has seen himself as a sinner and he gets right with God. Amen. His sin. And then the Lord's asking this question. Well, who could I send out? Who would go for us? I mean, who would go for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Who would go for us? And Isaiah's like he's in a group of people. Hey, here I am. Is that what he said? He said, here I am. Hey, don't overlook me. Hey, send me. That's the way we all are. Lord, here I am. You need somebody to do, Lord, you need somebody to go visit. You need somebody to teach a Sunday school class. Oh, teach Sunday school class. Witness to somebody. Be right, live right on the right. Oh, conviction is falling over the house. Hebrews chapter number 12. God has set a race before us this morning. And I'm wondering who will say, "Here am I. I want to run this race." It's already been mentioned that we've had those that's run the race before us. In the Bible, we have them in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll preach about them in just a second. But we've had them right here in the church to live a life before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning knowing, God, that you're a great God. Besides thee, there is none other. God, I know, Father, you want to touch and work in our midst this morning. I know the devil is trying his best to fight and get people's minds on other things. And God, they just need to trust in you and believe in you and depend upon you, God, for all those things. God, I pray that you'll just help us this morning to get our minds upon you and be sensitive to the Spirit of God and what he wants to say to us. And God, may we be willing to humble ourselves before you and say, "Lord, use me. Use me to be that that you'd have me to be." And God, I pray that you'll convict us and you'll, Father, cheer us and you'll comfort us and challenge us through your word today. Again, thank you for those that are here visiting. Thank you for your people that are your faithful people that are here. Thank you, Father, for those that are friends of the church. I pray, God, that you would help us, God, to look into your word this morning and speak through your servant. Take this body of clay, this mind of dust, and use it for your honor and for your glory. Take your word, your workman, and work your will in our hearts today. God, we pray you'll hold back the hindrance of Satan. God, we pray, Father, that we know you're mightier enough, God, to, Father, move in our midst this morning and save some sinner. God, you're able to claim that backslider. God, you're able to touch that one that needs to draw closer to you. God, we pray for Holy Ghost power. God, we pray for the Spirit of God. Father, we pray for the working. God, we pray for the moving of the Holy Ghost in our midst. God, we just don't want to take some time. God, we just don't want to preach another sermon. But God, we want, Father, your will to be done in this service. God, one day we're going to meet you like Deborah just sung. God, one day we're going to stand before you. God, we're going to give account of this service, of this day, of what we've done today. God, I pray you'll help us clear our minds of the things that needs not to be in our minds. Help us to say all that needs to be said this morning. And we'll give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. We come to this verse in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter number 12. Wherefore, here he's just read all these of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. He said, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. I want to preach for just a few minutes on this running the race. Amen. The race that is set before us. I believe in this building this morning and that today that God has a purpose for each individual in here. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God wants you to fulfill His will with your life. God has will. I wonder how many has ever asked God what His will is for your life. The Bible says this, He said He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God, it's God's will that you get saved. Amen. It's God's will that you be saved by the marvelous grace of God. It's God's will that you would see yourself as a sinner, cry out to God and tell Him you're a sinner and ask God to save you. That'd be God's will for your life. And once you get saved, guess what? You get put into the family of God. Are you glad to be in the family of God? Yes. Amen. And when you get put in the family of God, then comes the responsibility of the family. Amen. Now, as a family here, you know that our children are representative of us, moms and dads, right? And so you and I have been put in the family of God, and now God being our Heavenly Father, we're representative of our Heavenly Father. Yeah. Jesus said this down upon the earth. I'm the light of the world. Before He went away, He said, ye are the light of the world. What He's saying is, I'm leaving, and ye are going to have to be. You're going to have to be the light of the world. He also told him in the book of Acts, when I go away, He said, the power of the Holy Ghost come over, and you should be witnesses. We're to be witnesses. Hey, God has a race for you and I to run. God has a path for us to take. The psalmist said, make straight the path, make it plain. Make the path plain that we might know it. There's a path for you and I to walk in. There's a way for you and I to go. And we know the choices. We preach this to the young people all the time. But it's good enough for you and moms and dads too, and grandma and grandpa. Now we talk about those young people. The choices you make today is going to affect the rest of your life. But it's the same thing, mom and dad. And grandpa, the life may not be as long, but it's going to affect your life. The choices you make. And the choices we make affects the life. It affects the path. It affects the way that we're going to go. And it affects the way we're going to run this race. I had the privilege to be at the rest home yesterday. And to be honest with you, I preached on this text here, just a little bit about this text. It was a preview of the service today. Amen. They was enjoying it a lot more than y'all are. I was going to, but be honest with you, it's a little harder because they are probably as far as lot on life, as natural looking at, they're near the end of their race. Right. Right. Amen. And we had I thank Sister Gail. I mean, we had the largest crowd. I think we had 17 in attendance. 19 in attendance. Okay. Evangelistically speaking, we had 100. No, I'm just 19 in attendance. And the Stringers was there and they sung for us, done a wonderful job. And Evelyn Evelie. No, Evelyn. Evanly. It's almost like heavenly, but it's evanly, okay? Yeah. Both works, okay? I call her Tar Baby. That's why I don't know her name. I'm sorry, okay? And so, I got her name wrong, but I didn't want to say Tar Baby with him at the rest home and explain all that. And she sung a song, and we had a wonderful time. If I can preach to them about the race that is set before them, sure, this morning in the vast number of different age groups that are here, it'd be willing to speak about the race that is set before us. Have you really took serious the life that God has gave you? Many of you have lived this past week, and really you have not thought about nothing but you and what you get out of life and how you run, what you are getting in this life and what you can attain in this life and what you can grasp in this life and what you can have in this life. But the very first thing that God says about running this race is he deals with something we would call elimination. Look what he says. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which they'll see." He said, we need to eliminate some things. If you're going to run this race for me, there might be some things that would hinder you from running the race. There might be something that would hinder you from raising up that hand and saying, "Here am I, send me." There might be something that would hinder you to run, and then you're going to have to eliminate those things. Now, the Bible speaks of weights, and then it speaks of sin. I really don't believe these are both the same thing. I believe there's some things that could be in our life that could be weights. And those weights just hold us back. You know, if I'm not a runner. I don't care about running. When we go down to Atlanta, you see all those people running. You go, all kinds of people running, jogging, all kinds of things. I think they stole something, but anyway. You know, why would you want to run? I can't if it didn't steal them. But yeah. But I'm not a runner. Now some loves to run. Some people get out and run. I know my brother Derek runs some. Other people, they run some. May the Lord bless them. Amen. Body, I mean, we know that that profits is little, and so that's profit them a little bit. Amen. But it is good. You need to be in shape. I ain't saying that. But I'm just saying, hey. I never was a runner. I did run track just a little bit, but I didn't care nothing about that. Amen. But I'm just not a runner. But I know there's one thing. If I'm going to run, I don't want a heavy coat on. Yeah. If I'm going to run, I don't want to run in cowboy boots. There's some weights that I wouldn't want to have if I was running. Okay? And if some of y'all ran, you might not have some weight, but no, we won't go there. But there's some weights I don't want to carry on. There's some weights I need to get off. Those weights would be things I wouldn't think they were sin, but there's just things in my life that God don't want to be there. There's some people that's had to give up things that are not sin, but to be doing what God would have them do. And I tell you, a lot of times that's hard on the flesh for us to give up something that is not sin. But you know, if you're going to run this race that God wants you to run, there might be some weights. You know, there's nothing wrong with a hobby. I should have got a lot more amens than that. There's nothing wrong with fishing. Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with whatever your ladies do. Okay, there's nothing wrong. Stitching, sewing, sitting in a corner and reading a book. There's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But guess what? Sometimes they could be a weight that would hinder us. I've known some young men that's got married. There was hunters and different things. And they got married. And you know what? They needed to get rid of some weights. They now had a wife that needed to tend to. Children and family. There's some people get married and they forget that they have responsibilities that comes along with that. And they still want to do the same things that they did when they were single. Amen. And you can't do that, Brother Derek. No. Things have to change. There's some weights. And there wasn't nothing wrong with those things. There was nothing wrong with them at all. But they had to be, they need to be set aside. Not that you can't do it, but you can't do it all the time. I mean, when I was 18 years old and going to Andrews High School, I mean, on the weekends, on Friday night, we would go Friday afternoon, we'd go fishing, you know, trout fishing. Hey, we'd sleep out under the bridges, stay out all night, amen. You know, fish Saturdays. You know. But when I got married, I didn't want to do all that no more. I had somebody else I wanted to spend time with.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, so I'm trying to give you an illustration. There's some weights sometimes because of things that is in our life, because of relationships that we have. Weights has to, things that has to be put to the side. And it's the same thing. If you're going to serve God, it's going to take time to serve God. And there's some other things that are robbing you of serving God because you're dabbling in them or you're involved in them, and they're robbing you from serving God. They're not sins, but they're robbing you of your time with God, maybe your Bible reading, maybe your prayer time, maybe you're attending the house of God, and they're robbing you from that.
Yeah.
Amen. They're robbing you from that. Those weights. Now, I knew that we weren't going to hang from the chandeliers this morning. That's all right. But there is a race. If we get this race right, when we get to heaven, we can hang from the chandeliers. Because we're out there going to give account of God. You realize it's appointed us once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. There's a judgment coming. There's some things that have to be left. There's weights. But not only there's weights, there's sins which does so easily beset us. Now, these sins that we would say was so easily beset us, I believe a lot of these sins are not the sins that qualifies for the major lists of sins, Brother Carver. Yeah. This sin is not adultery. This sin is not murder. Amen. Now, some of these sins would be in the Ten Commandments. But most of them's not. May I say, Barry, the first one I want to deal with is one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. They might just be, if we're going to lay aside some weights and we're going to lay aside a sin, it could be the sin of the spirit of covetousness that we would have to lay aside. Because see, if you want to serve God, you're not going to have to be able to have all the things that other people has. You're not going to have to be able to be like the other people. I can't say the Joneses no more. We had some Joneses to join, and we can't say that no more. So I'm going to have to find somebody new. We can't be like the Jeffersons. That ain't a good one either. See, that marks you how old you are right there, okay? But hey, what I'm trying to say, we can't be like. There's some things that we won't be able to have. Now, you say, well, preacher, if you serve the Lord, you can't be rich. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That ain't what we're talking about. What I'm saying is we can't be like people in the world. We can't be like the world. And I'll get to that in just a second. But covetousness. Things that when we look at others and we covet what they have and we covet what they are and we covet just the pride of life, if you don't watch it, become coveted. You have a desire to have and have and have. Could it be the spirit of covetousness? We need to set aside. We need to, it besets us, if you will. It makes us stumble. It makes us not be what God would have us to be. We can't run this race like we should run it. Yeah. Could it be the spirit of rebellion? When we see the case of rebellion, I'm not talking about sinners now. I'm talking about saved people.
Yeah.
Could it be that God's asked us to do something we just rebel against? We're not going to run this race because the race that he's wanting us is taking us to a path we don't want to go. Taking us down a road that we... You say, well, give me an illustration. I'll give you an Old Testament illustration. The man's name's Jonah.
Yeah.
God had a path for Jonah. Jonah wasn't no wicked, ungodly sinner.
No.
He was a righteous preacher. Amen. Priest, he was a preacher. He was doing fine when he was preaching to his Jewish friends. But God said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. Whoa. Okay. This is a different path than I thought about taking. The race has changed. The pace of the race has changed. You know, those that run races, they have to pace themselves and have to run. And you know, some are they run harder at the first leg of the race, and some runs hard at the last leg, you know, of the race, and different. But they have to pace themselves. And this is a different pace, a different pattern that he was taking, and he didn't like that too much. You know what he did? He rebelled against God.
Yeah.
Rebelled against God. And can I tell you, if you want to rebel against God and take your course, guess what? You go down And you'll find you a ticket.
Yeah.
And you'll pay the price for that ticket yourself, because it won't be God paying it for it.
Yeah.
And you can buy the ticket and you can even get on the ship and you can start going away from God. But somewhere on the sailing on the ship, guess what? God's going to get on your trail.
Amen.
Amen. God's going to find you when you rebel against Him. It's just like your children when they rebel against you. It may go on for a little bit of time. If you're living at home, it finally will come back around.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, here's Jonah. He's rebelled against God. And God had prepared a great fish, a whale, for him. Amen. And they cast him overboard. He gets swallowed up in a whale. And guess what? In a whale's belly, he really got right with God. If you want a whale belly experience, just rebel against God. I don't know about you, but I'm not a candidate for one. Are you? No. It could just be that we need to, this sin of rebellion, sin of disobedience. Could it be the spirit of worldliness? Just the love for the things in this world. Again, now, I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about Christians just walking the race, trotting around with the Lord. Well, I love serving God. Oh, how I love Jesus. I'm talking about people singing in the choir. I'm talking about, you say, give me an illustration. I'm glad you asked. There was a man by the name of Demas. I believe Demas was saved. I believe Demas served God, buddy. Faithful with God. He's right in there with him. Who you want me to fight? Oh, where you want me to go, Paul? Hey, I'm ready. But the Bible says Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Something caught his eye. Something caught his affections. Something got his attention. Something caused him. I mean, he was doing good and going good. And something caused him to turn back to this present world. May I say this? I don't care how far you've been with God. I don't care how long you've loved. And I'm not being disrespectful to our senior saints. I don't care how long you've served God and loved God. If you don't watch it, you can turn away from God. If you don't watch it, I don't care how high it's got. I don't care how much services you've been in. I don't care how much God's used you and how mighty. If you don't watch it, you can be a Demas. And you can turn. You can turn away from God. You can turn away from God. Couldn't have been worldliness. What was it that attracted him? Do you realize because of that, Demas falls off the pages of the Word of God? Do you realize because of that, the blessings of, when you and I become turned away from God, guess what? God don't bless us no more. He's not just like a little trinket that you can just have that carry around that blesses you because it, you have it. Just because you're saved don't mean the blessings of God is going to be in your life. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Y'all didn't get that, did you? There's something that qualifies that verse. For all things work together to good. And that love the Lord. If you've went away from God and you've begun to love this world and yet you're saved, that does not mean that all things is working for your good anymore. Boy, we don't use that verse much like that, do we? But Brother Stringer, I believe I still rightly divided the Word of God right there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing to keep you from the blessings of God off of you. And that is when you're not faithful to doing what God calls you to do. You rebel.
Yeah.
You're not faithful to do what God, what you know is right to do. Hey, wasn't it like that at home? Daddy would tell me to do something around the house. And he said, now, son, I'm going to go to work. He would usually tell me the night before, he said, I'm going to be working tomorrow. And when I get back, I want to make sure those beagles are fed. I'm not going to have time. I'm going to have to work late. We're on a job. We're going to have the beagles need to be fed. And Brother Jimmy just perked up back there when I said beagles. He's got beagles. He likes the rabbit hunt. Daddy always kept two beagles. Beagles need to be fed, watered, lot cleaned out a little bit. And Brother Allen, I come home, get off the bus. I get to playing, doing different things. And then I get to noticing, hey, it's getting dark. Daddy will be here any minute. And I knew that I needed to get those responsibilities. Because if I didn't, it wasn't going to be well at the McCulley's house. Supper was going to be later that night. We ate when Daddy got home. I know things don't work like that no more, but I'm just telling you how it was then. And now we just eat anytime we want to sitting in front of TV. But anyway. Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're going to eat microwave meals anyway, you might as well eat them anywhere. I'm just kidding, ladies. Don't get mad at me. I know y'all still cook. Amen. But I just never get invited over to eat. But anyway. And there's the truth, folks. I knew things wouldn't be well. Why? Because I had been disobedient. I'd let other things hinder me from doing what I know I was supposed to do. Do you not thank our Heavenly Father that has gave us guidelines? Forsake not to assemble yourself together to manage some of you. So much more you see the day approaching. Yeah. Hey, the Bible says the first of the week, for us to give back to God that which God has prospered us. Hey, when we're not doing what God has asked us to do, when we're not faithful to do what God has told us and what we know to do, I think it causes some problem between us and the Heavenly Father, just like it would between me and my dad. Oh, yeah. See, in 2017, our Christianity, our Hollywood Christianity, you say, why do you call it Hollywood Christianity? Because we just show up on Sunday morning. Hollywood Christianity, we're just interested in what's on the stage. We're just interested in who's performing. We're just interested in what kind of entertainment the church has. Yeah. You know, 80% of the calls I'll get, if somebody comes to calls and asks about the church, they're going to ask this, what entertainment do you have for the children? And there's nothing wrong with having entertainment for the children. And I'll tell them, I said, we church and children's church, and we have these things that goes on. But I said, you know what goes on with these things? We have preaching. Now, we churches don't preach, but, you know, but we have children's church, and, you know, I mean, there's 3 or 4 or 5 years old. But we have preaching. I said, we have activities for kids, but I said, we major on preaching. And usually that's all they need to hear, because they ain't really concerned about preaching. Another thing they never asked about, what's your doctrine? I'm telling you, we're living in this Hollywood Christian age. Yeah. It's all about, what have you got to entertain? Yeah. Well, you know, what do you got to please me? Instead of saying, hey, do y'all preach the gospel down there? What do y'all believe about eternal security? What do you believe about salvation? Now, what have you got for the kids to entertain the kids? Well, we have clowns. We call him Brother Kevin. And we... No, I'm just joking. No. What I'm trying to say is that's what people's looking for today.
Yeah.
And I thank our Heavenly Father, if we're going to run the race that is set before us, there's some sins we're going to have to set aside.
Yeah.
The sin of rebellion, disobedience, disobeying against God, sin of worldliness, being like this world. What about the spirit of prayerlessness? I believe that would hinder us, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The sin of the lack of praying. What about the sin of unforgiveness? There's some sins that we're going to have to lay aside. See, those are not the sins that hits the high list. And those are not the sins that people look and say, I wonder what Charlie's into or Johnny. I wonder what Susie's into and Susan. No, they don't think about these. So these are the sins that are within us. These are the sins that we're capable of having and nobody else knowing about them. These are the sins in the darkness of our hearts and our souls. Sin of unforgiveness. Well, you know, I love the church, and I love going down there, and you're sitting down there at the church, and you know, you're sitting down there, and so-and-so walks in. I love this church, and I love everything, but I don't like them. She said something one time to me, and I ain't going to forgive her for it.
Yeah.
You know, I like that family over there, but you know, they talk to so-and-so, and man, I don't see how they get along with them. They're picky people. They're different. There's just something about them. I just don't know. But I don't even think they're right with God.
Yeah.
What about the sins of the heart?
Good.
Unforgiveness. What about the sinfulness, the spirit of bitterness? Having bitterness in the heart. Well, God hadn't done this for me, but he done it for them. God ain't done this. And I've had this to happen, and I've had that to happen. I just don't know God if God loves me. I wonder about the spirit of indifference. Indifference. I'm talking about being unconcerned. That's what indifference means. I don't care. We could call it the sin of being cold, carnality, carnal. What about that? Could those be some of the things that you need to eliminate in your life? Could these be some things, if you don't watch it, they're growing underneath the sunshine of your Christianity. Underneath your Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, come to the church and putting on your righteousness. Underneath that, there's things are growing. You know what they are? They're like tares among the wheat. You know what they are? They're like vines. We have a rose bush. It's really not a rose bush. I know what they call them, but I just can't. Is it knockout roses? Is that them bushes that, my soul, them things can grow. Me and Deborah and I, we built a house, and this was about 6 years ago, and I planted one right in the corner where you walk around, That thing is blooming. I've had to cut it. It goes all the way across the walkway, and you have to cut it. But you know what? There's something that can get a hold of it. I like it sometimes, but it ain't good. But there's a vine that'll start growing up. And that vine will start growing up in it. It's got a pretty little purple bloom in it. But you know what? If I really was concerned about that rose, about those roses, I wouldn't want that vine in there, because you know what that vine's going to do? It'll wrap around and begin to squeeze and suck the life out of that flower.
Yeah.
It'll begin to wrap around it so tight. And I'm telling you, those things are growing in your life. You don't even realize it, but they're there. You're harboring things in your heart. Things that you not took to God and asked God to forgive you for. Things that you have in your life that other people you won't forgive. And then just the thing of, I just don't care no more.
Yeah.
I don't care what they do down at the church no more. I don't care what goes on. I'm going to go, but I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah.
We're having fun. I'm just preaching, folks. If it's hitting home, I'm sorry. But these sins that we have, they should be setting us. How do we expect God to bless us if we got strife and malice? I don't know if we have anything. I don't know. Strife or malice, envy, covetousness. Well, I've seen her name twice on the singing list, and my name's just once. I'm just looking at you. I'm not saying you're doing it. You don't watch it, singers. I'm just going to get a little bit close. singers, if you don't watch it, you know what? They amen'd her or him a lot more than they did me. I just don't understand it. You know who that is? That is the devil.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's the devil. That's who it is. And in the midst of that devil is just a little bit of your pride.
Yeah.
Amen. And getting preachers too. Well, I got up there and preached. That man, hey, I know it because I have to fight it sometimes. Well, boy, they really amen that other preacher. They didn't amen me any. I thought my preaching was at least half as good as his preaching was. Come on now. Well, they said more about this person than they said about that person. Preacher got up there and he bragged. I done the same thing last week and he didn't say a thing about what I done. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Those are the things we need to eliminate. I'm sorry, but don't get any better. Look what he says. And let us run with patience. Oh, don't talk about patience. Oh. There's some things we have to eliminate, but there's some of the things we're going to have to endure. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So my race is different than your race. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I just got a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 11. We come up with Abel. You know what Abel was? Abel was a witness.
Yeah.
His blood is still witnessing today. Amen. His blood. The only way you're going to please heaven, the only way you're going to get to heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right,
amen. Without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sin. So his testimonies are still a witness today. His blood is still crying today. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood that covers, washes away our sins. Nothing but the blood. Amen. It's still a witness. Then we come to Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. And I mean, it was an easy time to walk with God. Everybody loved God. Oh, no. No. There weren't many people loving God at all. Matter of fact, we're fixing to walk up to Noah and the next person. And God said, you know what? I'm so sick of these people. I've repented of being made man. He said, because their imagination, their thoughts are on wickedness. I mean, totally everything they think about is wickedness. Almost like today.
Yeah,
wickedness, wickedness. Oh, it's wicked, 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 wicked.
Yeah.
Everywhere we look, wicked, 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 wicked. But Enoch walked with God. And then Noah, and that's what I want to get to. Noah worked for the Lord. And it was an easy task. Won't you go out here and build this 24x10 boat for you and your family? That's all it would have really took, probably. You know, we're going to save your family here. Won't you go out here and build this little ark? It's a little old thing. It don't matter if it's 500 or something feet long. It don't matter if it's 50 foot high. What a job. What a task. We got to go up and see the ark encounter. Deborah and I and family, we went up and we've seen it. And you can see it from a long ways off. It's big. You know, it's large. You walk up beside it, you don't even plan on jumping over it. Matter of fact, I don't know if I could sprint past it. I mean, it's a long ways. Okay? It's big. And the task was put before Noah. Being warned of God with fear, Noah what? He built this ark. It was a task. It was a race. Sometimes you have to endure something. While he was doing this, he had to endure. No doubt. First of all, this is the labor of it. Can you imagine the labor of building that thing? Oh, that wasn't nothing. Pull out my Makio chainsaw. Makio skill saw. I pull out my chainsaw, and we'll just zip down them trees. And oh no, they didn't fall them trees like they did that day. Try an axe.
Yeah.
And some of those things, those logs, was large and big, no doubt, to build that such a big and put the braces on that thing and it would withstand. We're talking about big trees. We ain't talking about branches. I'm talking about there's a lot of hard labor, a lot of work that went into building that. And then may I say it wasn't a very short time either. It was a long time building it. You know, we're all right. Lord, you want me to do something? Oh, yeah, we'll do it for a week. I can run this for a week. Yeah. I can't run that long. I can run for a week. But guess what? Sometimes God wants us to run and run and run. The race is a long time. To God be the glory. And I loved it. I've loved every year of it. I've been able to pastor the church 15 years here. That's the race that God set before us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the Christian walk is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. The race that is set before us is more like a marathon. And really, young people, it matters how you start. It really does. Because it's going to help you know how you finish. But even if your start's a little bad, what really people is looking for is how you finish. Because it's awful to run the race just for a little while and then get out.
Yeah.
I don't mean very much. There's some things you're going to have to endure. Noah had to endure. Look at verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against who he's talking about Jesus. Verse number 4, ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin, but Jesus did. Jesus gave his life. He's using Jesus as an example. Look at verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Hey, sometimes you're going to have to endure God dealing with you and rebuking you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to deal with God dealing in your life. Look at verse number 15. I've got to quit. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hey. There's some things you have to endure. You have to be able to get rid of that bitterness. You know what? You know what you need God to do in your life tonight, this morning? You first of all, you let God reveal what's in your life that's hindering you from this race. Secondly, you need to let grace remove it. And then you need to let good replace it. That's what you need to do. You need to say, hey, Lord, I know there's some things that I need to eliminate. I know there's some things I'm going to have to endure. I know that the race set for me is not like the race he set for Brother Ray. My race is going to be different. And if I prepare my race for Brother Kevin's race, I can get bitterness. I can get all kinds of different things in my mind because God may bless him a lot more than he blesses me. God may use him in a different way than he uses me. But my life is just as important. He may preach to thousands and hundreds of thousands and they get saved. I may preach to 150 and a few get saved. But if I'm doing what God wants me to do and I'm in the will of God and he's in the will of God, when we get to heaven, who's going to get the greatest reward? We're going to get the same. Because I've done what God wanted me to do. He's done what God wanted him to do. Don't compare yourself with everybody else. But looking unto Jesus, there's the key. If you're going to run this race, you're going to have to keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy. There ought to be some rejoicing. There ought to be some enjoyment. There's some things that you and I are going to have to eliminate. There's some things you're going to have to endure, but we should enjoy.
Yeah.
Did not James said, count it all joy?
Yeah.
When you fall into diverse temptations. I just preached on that Wednesday night. There's some things we need to enjoy. Looking at Jesus, author and finisher. For the joy that was set before him. You know what that joy that was set before him? That joy that was set before him was the church. It was the saints of God. It's going to be birthed in the family of God. It's going to be washed by his blood. That's what the joy was that was set before him. Hey, what about us? We got anything to enjoy in? Enjoy it? Hey, buddy, we're saved. We're going to get a glorified body one day. We're going to get to live in heaven. We're going to get to live where there's no devil, no more dying, no more sin, no more separation, no more sadness. I think we got a lot to be joyous about. We're going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving me.
Yes.
Thank you for shedding your holy blood to wash away my sins, forgive me. Yes. Give me a home in heaven with you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ here who love you so much.
Yes.
Thank you that when we pray and ask you to forgive us, you do it, Lord.
Yes.
You're good to us. Thank you for blessing us so much. Help us to go out from here and serve you, Lord, the way we should. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.